With the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA draft,
with the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
Welcome to Robin Hoop, an NBA Draft show here on Dash Radio's Nothing Net channel, where we bring rich takes to the poorly informed. Welcome back to the NBA channel, Nothing But Net on Dash Radio. We are now going to be joined here on the Robin Hoop program by Rich Harris, the senior editor for Hoops Prospects. Rich, thanks for joining the show this week.
Thank you, Rob.
Now, the focus this week is Florida State University and their prospects, and they have a number of good ones in this draft class. What we'll do is we'll start off with the man that most people feel is going to be the top prospect from the group, and that is Devin Vassell. What do you think of when you think of Devin Vassell as a prospect?
The first thing that comes to my mind is that he doesn't really have a lot of weaknesses, and he's so efficient in so many areas. It's rather incredible. He's just one of those guys. It's hard to find flaws in his game, though there are some.
Yeah, he's very much a complete player, and I think that's one of the things that's really caused a lot of teams to, I think, fall in love with him, or at least prospects anyways, and I would hope a lot of teams as well. When I look at where he kind of started in terms of kind of rankings, there was a time when people thought maybe 10 to 15, and now I'm seeing people talk about him and are sometimes the top five, and so you really start to see how people have started to evaluate him and how he has moved up. And obviously the way the pandemic's worked, people have a lot more time to research and to dive into these prospects. And so that makes a pretty big difference there. One question I have for you is when I watch him play, he has a very interesting jump shot form. It's not standard, but what's great about it is it's very high release point and it's effective and it's consistent. Do you think that's going to translate to the NBA okay?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, he has a little bit of trouble with efficiency off the dribble. But I think part of that comes down to, I think he needs to tighten his handle a little bit. I also think that he doesn't necessarily always have the best shot selection. I think sometimes he pulls up for jumpers when he'd probably be better off going to the rim. And I don't think he goes to the rim enough. But I'm definitely think that there's nothing drastically wrong with his shot. I'm not really concerned about that.
The interesting thing, you mentioned his handles and his shot selection. One thing that was interesting to me is he does not have a good ability, if we're going to talk about things that are concerning. He doesn't have a good ability to get separation when he's on one and one. But the funny thing is, because of his shot being a little higher, he was actually able to make a decent amount of shots, but they were so difficult. So for me, when I look at the transition from college to the NBA, I think it's going to be that much tougher if, as you said, he can't get tighter handles. Because right now, I would agree, I think that's an area he definitely needs to improve if some of his game is still going to be effective at the next level.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, he's very good on the catch and shoot. So, you know, and he's going to give you defense. And he's certainly an above average handler. He's certainly above average off the dribble. When you start to nitpick, like at this level, that's like, you know, should he go at 5? Should he go at 10? Should he go at 15 type of stuff? You follow what I'm saying? I mean, I don't mean to contradict you, but what I'm saying is, I agree. And he might, I guess that's the thing with him. It's just like, how good can he be? And so that's the type of stuff we're looking at with him. With other prospects, you know, we don't even get to that detail. You know, so we're just deciding how good Devin Vassell can be. How is he going to be a complete player like Kawhi Leonard? Of course, he's not going to be Kawhi Leonard, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And it's interesting, too, when you compare him to, let's go off of the idea that the top two prospects that a lot of people think are going to be like Ball and Edwards. I actually have more question marks about players like them and bigger red flags than I do about a prospect like Vassell. So you're right. We are nitpicking at this point because he's such a good player and he's got so many skills. You know, when you look at a guy like LaMelo Ball, there's defensive question marks. Very much, very concerning. When you look at Edwards, same thing. You have question marks. But with Vassell, you do have to nitpick to really get into what are the areas that we have concerns about? Because overall, he's at a minimum pretty solid in almost every aspect of his game.
Right, right. Yeah. So what we're debating here, is he going to be good or is he going to be great?
That's fair. That's fair. And do you think, when you look at outcomes, you know, there's obviously lower outcomes, kind of a middle outcome. Do you think he is going to be able to reach his potential and like to have that higher outcome? Or do you think he's going to be more of like a middle outcome? Because for me, I think given how hard he works, or at least that's my understanding, he's a very hard worker. We've seen improvements from year one to year two. Honestly, I don't think there's anything stopping him from hitting that high threshold.
Well, I would say, you know, I mean, he is on the slender side, so that's something he's going to have to address, and that's probably one of the reasons why he doesn't go to his rim as much as we'd like to see him. He's not a tremendous athlete. I mean, he's a very good athlete, and he certainly has a lot more functional, you know, athleticism than a lot of people, including, say, his teammate Patrick Williams, at least on the offensive end. But you know, he doesn't have a great wingspan. He's plus 3. He's 6'6", 6'7", in that range. I mean, I think that there are some limitations that are on him that might not be on Okoro or Anthony Edwards.
And that's fair. That's fair. Okoro is very, very good, by the way. And those are the guys that you're looking at. When you're looking at defense and you're looking at the top prospects, that's who you're looking at. You're looking at Okoro. You're looking at Vassell. And actually, when we specifically look at his defense, he's one of the best off-ball defenders, team defenders in this draft class. Talk on that a little bit. And then also, do you think he's going to be a decent on-ball defender when he gets to the next level?
Yes and yes. You know, Florida State, you know, it plays a really aggressive style. They always come up with a lot of steals and blocks. I mean, you know, here you have a guard who, you know, blocks one shot a game. And they all do it without fouling, which is kind of amazing. At least these three particular prospects we're going to talk about. But yeah, I don't see, he definitely has good lateral movement and his length is good enough. It's not outstanding. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I think, you know, we're talking about being somewhat limited here on upside. And I think that's why he's probably more, he won't go 5 overall because he does, his upside is somewhat limited. But in terms of lateral movement, awareness, energy, effort, you know, anticipation, you know, all those things are there.
Where do you think he ends up playing position-wise? You know, there's some players in this draft, just as an example, like Paul Reed. I think Paul Reed eventually can guard 1 through 5. We're going to talk about Patrick Williams. He's going to have flexibility and switchability. When you look at Devin Vassell, some people have said, I think he's going to be able to guard, let's say, 1 through 3. I've heard other people say that eventually, if he can get a little stronger, he might have the ability to play some 4, given his height. Where do you think he's going to end up really playing or being dialed in as far as position?
Well, I think the only way he's playing at four is he plays for the Rockets.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, like I said, he, you know, with shoes, he's not even 6'7". So, and he's definitely on the slender side. You know, he, like I said, when I say he blocks one shot a game, and I'm saying that as a positive, you know, that's because it's a positive for a wing. But he's a wing. You know, that's what he's going to be.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I think he's going to be able to play the two. He's going to be able to play the three. And that's, to me, where I see him now. I'm a big Timberwolves fan. So what I like about his game, when I look at specifically the Timberwolves and what, like, for example, Gerson Rosas wants to do, he likes those toolsy 3/4 guys. And so I think that's another example of a team that maybe would look at him just as a small ball four, but definitely not out of the gates. And there would definitely have to be improvements, like you said, in terms of strength, if he's ever going to really be able to contend at that position. So I agree. I think the wing is really where he's going to be best suited. Now, looking ahead to the draft, let me ask you this. It's kind of a multi-part question. Where do you think he ends up likely going in the draft? Where do you think he should go? And is there a team or teams that you think is probably a good fit?
Well, you know what? You kind of caught me off guard on that one. So I'm just going to take a peek on the mock draft that I'm working at just to see where I have him going. I feel like, first of all, to answer one part of your question, I feel like I was actually very high on Vassell last year because his metrics were off the charts. And so in most of the metrics that I use, and some of which I've created myself, eliminate the fact that he didn't play a high number of minutes. And so, but everyone's caught up with me. And I think I'm with the consensus on where he should be. I have him going 9th to the Wizards. Now, the Wizards are a type of team that could use just about anything. So, obviously, he'd be a good fit there. I think a lot of teams are looking for perimeter defense and shooting. And so, just look at, these guys, those teams are farther down the draft, so he'll never get to them. But, you know, Utah and Denver, in that series, we can see where both of them were, you know, definitely struggling, you know, to defend on the perimeter. So, you know, the highest I could see him going is probably the Hawks, you know, 6. And they, you could make an argument that they could make use of him. You know, Detroit certainly, you know, I mean, he's the type of player, you know, that's really in high demand. So I don't think there's any team that's going to turn him down and say, oh, he doesn't fit our team. I just don't see that.
Yep, I think that's very fair. There's a lot of teams. I mean, if I look at the teams in the lottery, one of the reasons you're in the lottery is generally because you're not a great team, obviously. And defensively, that's definitely something you see with a lot of these teams. And so you mentioned the Hawks. You mentioned you had them going to the Wizards. Definitely some very good options anywhere from that. And I would agree. I don't think he goes top 5. I do think in that like 6 to 10 range is for me likely where I see him going. So
I think that's where the consensus has him as well.
And I think that's fair. And now, would it shock me if someone took him? Would it shock me if he went a little later? It would. But it wouldn't necessarily shock me if someone took a chance on him, let's say at 4 or 5, depending on, because I think a lot of those teams are looking for trades too, and looking to trade back. Like a team like the Wolves, for example, I know some people think that they might look to trade back out of 1. And if they did that, and let's say they did move to, you know, wherever, 4 or 5 or whatever this play case may be, he'd be a player that would really check a lot of boxes. So we'll see on there. Let's transition now into the next, I would say the next highest prospect of the three, and that is Patrick Williams. What really stands out about Patrick Williams for you as a prospect?
I think his physical body, you know, how solid and muscular he is. When he played this season, he was 18 years old. He may have turned 19 by now. Just let me check that. He just turned 19. But, you know, he played the season as an 18-year-old, and he didn't look like an 18-year-old. So that's what stood out first to me. It's like, wow, you know, this guy's really built. And I, you know, and he's only 18. What's he going to be like, you know, when he's 24? He certainly has, you know, great hands. You know, he can rebound with one hand, with either hand. He, you know, he can finish with both hands. He's a really good shot blocker. I think that's where his athleticism really stands out, is on the defensive end. You know, I think a lot of people like him more than I do. And the reason why I'm not totally sold on Patrick is because what I said with Vassell having functional athleticism, I don't necessarily see that with Patrick Williams, because on the offensive end, when you see him dribbling, you know, it's a little bit slow. It's a little bit methodical. His jump shot's a little bit slow, a little bit methodical. Especially when he's shooting off the dribble, you know, he's just not explosive. And so it's things like that. You know, he's not a great passer, and he's somewhat turnover prone. So I really see him, his strength being defense. He comes up with a lot of steals. He comes up with a lot of blocks. Like I said, he's a good rebounder. He's 6'8" with a 7-foot wingspan, and he's got close to a 40-inch vertical. And those things you see, like I said, when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, those things, his athleticism really stands out. When he has the ball in his hands, that's when he slows down.
It's interesting. When you look at some of his synergy numbers, he's incredibly good in the transition. Now, it's a low sample size, but he's really good in transition when he's the ball handler. But in basically any other aspect, he wasn't good, which was surprising to me. Again, small sample size, but just very interesting. And there's a number of prospects in this class that are like taller guys or bigger guys that are trying to up their transition game and push it themselves. I'm with you. He has to get better as a ball handler if he's really going to be as versatile as I think he could be. And you touched on his athleticism. The one area that I have some concerns, and again, he's the second youngest player in the class. There's lots of room to improve. I mean, he could do that because he's got time. But laterally on defense is one of the things I don't feel he moves really well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, definitely. You know, in my notes, I was just, you know, taking a peek at them, you know, which I didn't write his scouting report for our website. So, but I still watched him and took notes. And so I was just reviewing my own notes. And one of the things was, I said, you know, he's suspect on being able to defend, you know, smaller, you know, guards and smaller wings, quicker, faster wings. That's one of the things I noted that, I agree there. And again, I'm not as high on Patrick as most are. Most people, you know, see him being, you know, somewhere in the 10 to 15 range. We have him ranked 20th on our draft board, which isn't far behind. But, you know, I just don't see him personally as a lottery prospect. Though, you know, when you factor in his age, though, I see where people are going with that.
That's the big thing for me. And one thing you talked about, too, is it's a little bit of a, when he's on offense, the decision making, or even like, for example, his shot, fast is not something that you would qualify him as. And the one thing, though, I will say about him on the offensive end, his jump shot, at least the mechanics of it, are very pretty on the eyes. I wish more guys had a jump shot that looked like that. But you're right, it needs to be quicker. But on the plus side, he doesn't have a lot of wasted action within the mechanics of it. And so I do think he can fix that. So a lot of the issues I have with Patrick, I think, are based on age, because they're going to be able to be fixed. But he has to go to the right team. And so that's one of the things where if he does go closer to 20, I think it would really benefit him, because he's going to be able to come along a little slower and probably develop better. Whereas if he goes to a team that needs to use him right away, at, let's say, a higher usage rate, then I could see there could be a little bit of a concern there. So a lot of it just depends on how he's going to grow as a player. And I think the team that he goes to could be interesting. When you look at, you talked about him as a good rebounder, and I would completely agree there. And kind of like Vassell, we touched on this a little bit, but, and maybe it's a little bit of the system, but also he turned out to be, he's a pretty good team defender. And you mentioned how he's able to get blocks and steals. Do you think ultimately the defense and the rebounding is going to translate well to the NBA?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, with the 7 foot wingspan, I mean, he kind of has like a Paul George like body. I mean, he's not as athletic as Paul George, and certainly not as gifted offensively as Paul George. But you know, he has that type of body, and I think he definitely is going to have defensive versatility. I think he basically played the four at Florida State. Of course, only 22 minutes a game, but he basically, you know, played the four at Florida State, and I think he's going to be able to do that at the pro level.
Yep, I think that's really fair, and he's going to have some switchability. Depending on, again,
yeah, what definitely, team he goes definitely. To, I just don't know. I just don't know if he's the type of guy you want on the point guard. You know,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And to be fair, if they're going to use him in a lineup, let's say where he's going to be listed as, let's say he goes in, he's going to be the three. You mentioned his ball handling. I do think for a player his size, his ball handling is okay. It's decent. But if he's going to be truly able to play more positions, I do think he does have to improve that. And then, like you mentioned, his passing as well. But what's impressive is, we touched on earlier, second youngest prospect, but Florida State didn't have to use him a lot. You know, his usage rate wasn't high, but he still was able to play enough minutes where he won sixth man of the year in the ACC. So it's a very good floor. He comes in, as far as his age, a lot of guys that are younger, sometimes you have a lot of question marks, and you don't think they can necessarily contribute right away. I personally think that he could contribute right away, just has to be in the right system, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think Vassell is more likely to be, you know, come out of the chutes, you know, running, as opposed to Patrick. You know, one thing you mentioned is driving needs to improve. You know, he's a right-hander, and he struggles going right. So, you know, there's another concern. I have him going to the Spurs, and that's more based on, you know, a collective opinion than my own. And, you know, the Spurs are, you know, famous for, you know, basically letting rookies come along nice and slow. And I think that'd be a good place for him.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. What team do you think would make some sense? And I've heard a number of people mention them as a good fit. And so at this point, I feel like enough people see it. Maybe we can hope the Spurs do too, because that could be a really good match. Let's move on to our last prospect now, Trent Forrest. Give me your initial thoughts on Trent Forrest as a prospect.
Well, I just actually finished his scouting report this morning. I mean, I've seen Trent a lot. He's a four-year player, so I'm very familiar with this game. And what I called him in the summary was a poor man's Lou Dort.
Interesting.
Now, admittedly, he's not. I mean, Lou Dort is the size of a big NFL fullback. But there are a lot of other comparable things in their game. I mean, both were point guards in college. Both are, you know, excellent defenders, both team and, actually Dort was more of a great on-ball defender. But Trent can do both team and on-ball. And they both struggle offensively. And so I think, you know, he's I highly doubt he'll be drafted. Of the latest collective ranking survey I did, we definitely had him highest on any draft board at 79 overall. So that's certainly not in draft range, but I definitely think he has a good shot at a two-way contract. Certainly if he'll hook on in Europe. And, you know, look at the path Patrick Beverley took. I mean, Patrick Beverley started in Europe, and now look at him. So, and again, he's in that kind of mold, you know, great, tenacious defender, smart. He's got good size for a point guard at 6'4", 210. And he doesn't even look it, you know. I mean, but he's 6'4", 210. So, you know, once he gets in an NBA conditioning program, he really could, you know, really fill out. And he's not a great athlete, but he's a good athlete. But offense, there's a lot of things that are lacking in his offense. And I don't know how much detail you want me to go into that.
The offense is definitely the big question mark. And that's why, like you said, there's a good chance he doesn't get drafted. But that's also why, if you look at his overall game, he's such a good defender, whether it's on the ball, whether it's off the ball. that a team would be smart, I think, to grab a two-way contract with him. I mean, he's 22 years old, so he is one of the older prospects in the class. But
he's a young senior. He's a young senior. A lot of seniors in this class are 23 and 24. Well, not 24, but a lot of them are 23.
But that would be the concern, as you say, all right, he's 22 already. We have all these question marks on the offensive end. But to me, there's things you can at least work with. He's like an 82, 83% free throw shooter. So it's not like you don't have something you can work with where some guys come in and you're just like, oof, I don't know, where do we even start with this prospect?
Right.
So he does have to improve a lot on offense. And it's not just shooting. He's not a high-level passer necessarily. When his usage rate increased in his senior year, the turnovers jumped up to 3 a game.
Right.
And so there's some issues there, but I think, to me, he's the ideal guy you grab as an undrafted free agent. You lock him in as a two-way prospect, and you work with him in your G League system, and you see if you can turn him into something. Because the one thing you can do when you have a prospect, it's very easy, or it's easier to get a guy to be able to be a shooter. It's very difficult to get a guy to be a good defender.
Yes, I agree. And you're not, you know, and those intangibles. And like I said, he's not a great athlete, but he's above average. So those things are all there. As you said, he's not a dynamic ball handler or, you know, creator, playmaker. But his shooting has improved, foul shooting and 3-point shooting, even though it still has a ways to go as far as from 3-point land. It's still improved every season. And this year, the 3-point line moved back. So we're not even taking that into account. So
that's true. You know,
he's definitely made strides. He's a younger senior. I think the other thing he needs to improve upon, his shot doesn't look. There's nothing severely broken with it, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. Yes,
and I agree. And as you said, he shot, I think, 83% or 82% from the free throw line this year, 75% for his career. So that's all positive. The one thing, you know, for a 6'4", 210 point guard, he doesn't go to the rim enough. You know, he made within 7 feet on drives this season. He made 63% of his shots, but he only did it 16 times.
It wasn't a big part of his game, including he's actually a pretty good, he has a good floater game, but it just wasn't there much.
But that's a double-edged sword, because when you rely on those floaters, you don't get the fouls. So he's got to really start putting his head down and going to the rim, and obviously he's got to continue to improve as a shooter. But if he can do those two things, like I said, he's not going to be as impactful defensively as Dort, but he still could be a good NBA defender, and he could just get on the floor just based on that if he can just shoot a little better and, you know, expand his offensive game. And by the way, I think what holds him back as a driver and maybe even shooting off the dribble is his handle isn't as tight as it needs to be for a point guard.
Yeah, that's fair. And he's got you mentioned he's 6'4". I believe his wingspan is around 6'7".
It's 6'8".
So he's got the physicals to be a decent next level defender. If he can just hone in on right now, I believe he was around 28 or 29% from three. It was a very small sample size. Someone pointed this out, and this is crazy. So in his career, he shot less three-pointers than Aaron Naismith shot in a single season. And so to me, that kind of tells a big story. It's just not a big part of his game. But 29%, it sounds bad, but if you could just get him into 34, 35%, just where when he shoots it, he's at least somewhat of a threat. And now you add that to what he already possesses on the defensive end. That's an okay player. He could be like a decent backup. He would have a role in the NBA. And so that's where I think a team would look to grab him, like we mentioned, kind of as a two-way prospect.
Yep, exactly.
So I think, like you said,
even if he ends up in Europe, that's not the end of the world.
No, and a lot of guys go over there and they come back eventually, and sometimes they're stronger. There's a lot of European players that come back even in their 30s. Where all of a sudden teams are targeting them because they want that veteran presence. And that's one thing that, I recently talked with his coach, Coach Hamilton, and he talked about how as a leader, you couldn't ask for a better leader, whether it was on the court or in the locker room. And so that's a huge aspect that you don't always get with prospects, but he's able to do that. And a big part of that leadership. And this is interesting too. I was not aware of this going in, but what Leonard Hamilton told me was that not only did Forrest score over 3,000 points in high school, but he's the winningest player in Florida State history.
Yep, 104 wins.
So that, to me, those things are not a lot of players can say that they win at that high of a level. And so I could see a team definitely taking a chance on that. Well, let me end it with this. Where can people find you on social media? And do you have any, whether it's articles or any draft stuff coming out soon?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, I run hoopsprospects.com, and we have material that goes up every week. Like I said, Trent Forrest's report will go up today. We have rankings that are updated on a weekly basis, and our draft board actually goes 200 deep. We have mock draft, and we're updating that regularly. We also have in-depth mock drafts, which I go into detail on all the picks. And if you want to talk to me on Twitter, I'm at Hoops Prospects. That's it.
Very cool. Hoops
Prospects.
well, thank you very much for taking the time. We loved talking some of these prospects with you, and we'll look to have you on again in the future if you're up for it.
I'd love that, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, welcome back to the Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show here on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel, where we are now joined by Will Morris. He used to play college basketball, and now he is deep into covering the draft, college basketball, and scouting. Thanks for taking the time to join us this week.
Of course, Robin. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So tell me a little bit about your background in terms of playing college basketball.
Yeah, grew up in Austin in a basketball family. From there, went out and played actually D2 basketball at a smaller school in Colorado. It's called Fort Lewis College. So had some good years out there. Won the conference a couple seasons. We had 30 wins or so my junior year. So we had some good success out there. Played Derek White when he was actually in D2 basketball. So that was interesting. Then graduated up and finished and got my master's at CU. And I'm just doing what you're saying, kind of scouting and trying to stick with it up in Denver.
Very impressive. Yeah, you obviously have a basketball background, and you got to have a passion to be a fan of the NBA draft, I think, and to cover it. And clearly you do, which transitions into your most recent thing you put out was your mock draft post-lottery. And to kind of touch on that really briefly, you have Anthony Edwards going 1, Denny Avdia going 2. What do you like about Anthony Edwards and his fit with the Timberwolves?
Yeah, Edwards, I mean, everyone knows his strengths. I mean, he's a great athlete. He's got pull-up off-the-jumper capabilities. If he hits his high-end ceiling, he might have the highest initiator upside in the class. It's all about, I guess, getting him to buy into the defensive side, do the little things. And I think getting him alongside an initiator, at least for first couple of years, and taking a little bit of the load off him, at least initially, might allow him to gradually ease into that role. So I like him up there. I'm a big Denny Avdia fan, as you mentioned as well. I think they're pretty different players, but I think at this stage, Minnesota and Golden State are looking for different things in the draft. So that's why they lined up 1 and 2.
Denny Avdia is number 1 on my board, so I'm a huge, huge fan of his. And I completely get – Edwards is definitely the popular pick with Minnesota. I'll tell you right now, I'm from Minnesota, and so I definitely have no issues if Edwards ends up here, although I do – part of me does hope that somehow they decide to go Avdia number 1 or, trading down a little bit, getting him later. I definitely think a team like Minnesota has a lot of options. As we dive into the focuses of this week, looking at your mock, you have our first prospect we're going to talk about is Devin Vassell. You have him going 6th to Atlanta. What do you like about Devin Vassell as a prospect?
Vassell, he's a prospect that kind of like Avdia, in my opinion, that fits a lot of different schemes and a lot of different teams up early in the on the board. It's kind of just how high did teams see his ceiling reaching, in my opinion. But for me, I really buy into his off-ball defense and think he can be a pretty capable point of attack defender as well. He made great strides in his pull-up shooting from year one to year two, shot over 40% both seasons from three, I believe. And as a pretty well-rounded prospect that I think would fit in well alongside a team that could really use some defense at this point.
Yeah, the Hawks are definitely a team that could use some defense. That is very, very much true. What's great about Fassell, too, is he matches what the NBA is doing now. They love switchability. He's the guy that's going to be able to guard multiple positions. Now, one thing some people have touched on, if he can get stronger, they see him being able to guard even maybe the four. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I could see for sure in stretches, especially the way the league's going, as you mentioned. I mean, they have Covington in stretches playing at five and stuff like that. So, I mean, he would definitely have to put on some strength, and especially guarding on ball at the four might be tough in certain matchups. But, I mean, I think it's definitely within his skill set to be a versatile switch defender. So, yeah, I definitely would buy into something like that if he could put on some weight in the next few years, which I would anticipate.
Yeah, the interesting thing about him, you mentioned how he's a good shooter. He's got a very unique shooting form. Do you have concerns about that? The one thing I like about that is it's a little tougher to defend because it's so high up in terms of his release, but it's also consistent. And that's one of the big things, you know, as players in the past have shown us, you can have a really wonky release, but as long as you're consistently doing it, it can work.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and it seems to be consistently, I mean, he seems to be a fairly reliable shooter from mid-range and from three. It is kind of a funky shot, but as you said, he shoots it high and he's got that long wingspan where I think it really benefits him in the pull-up jumper game. I've seen him kind of get into the paint and kind of rock on one and then shoot a little fadeaway type shot in mid-range. And I think that high release point, like you said, is he can use to his advantage with his long wingspan and size. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about that actually at this point.
We touched a little bit on his offense and on his defense in terms of a lot of the strengths of his game. Are there areas where you kind of have some concern, whether it's maybe a strength in college that you don't think is going to translate, or maybe just something that right now you feel is a little bit worrisome?
Yeah, that's a good question, because he's a guy that I kind of see as a fairly well-rounded guy or prospect at this point. I think a couple of his weaknesses that he could certainly improve upon that would unlock a little bit better upside for him would be if he could kind of get more initiation off pick and roll and kind of improve his passing, I guess, off the dribble, maybe even finishing at the rim. Those kind of things are some things that I didn't see as much out of him at Florida State, but doesn't necessarily mean that he couldn't improve it or doesn't have it. Florida State always has a deep roster and their stats are always interesting with the minutes that they get distributed out, but it doesn't necessarily mean he can't add it to his game, but those are some of the things that I think would really unlock another level for him.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Devin, when you look at his college game, when I watch him, they didn't really use him. Like, the usage rate wasn't super high because they had a lot of talented players. So I definitely have questions. I want to see what can he do more as a facilitator. What can he do as like more of a ball handler? Just because you didn't get to see a lot of that stuff as far as what you got at Florida State. A lot of it was they really pushed his defensive aspects, his shooting. There's a lot of parts to his game that I think are untapped. And so I definitely think we could see a wider range of skills when he translates into the next level. We talked about, obviously, Atlanta. Is there another team out there that you think would be a good fit? And ultimately, where do you think he goes in the draft?
As I kind of spoke on, he's a guy that I could see fitting a kind of variety of different locations. I could see him up at as high as maybe five to Cleveland, or down I could see him at eight to the Knicks would be a decent fit. I know Washington needs wing defense as well. I like Okoro or Vassell to go to Washington if either of them are on the board. So those are kind of some fits I've seen. If he slips past that, I don't see him slipping out of the lottery. So if anyone gets some late lottery, that would be a nice pick in my opinion. But those are some of the spots I'm looking at right now. Are there any that you see in particular for him?
There's a lot of teams that I really like. The one thing I don't want to see is I don't want him slip down and go to like the Spurs. You have Williams going there. And I feel like the Spurs are one of those teams that they're always really good. And part of it is because they just find ways to get really good value in the draft. So the last thing I want to see is Greg Popovich working with a guy like Devin Vassell. That's not something I need to see. But you're right. A team like Washington could definitely use, whether it's Okoro, and I know that's who you have going there right now. But if you were to, you know, if Vassell's available there, that's a tough situation because I think both those guys are really, really good players. And so there's lots of things to like about Devin. And given the vast needs of a lot of these teams and the fact that he's a very well-rounded prospect, I don't think there's any team that could really go wrong with taking Devin Vassell. And right. Actually, that translates well into our second prospect here. Another prospect that I think would fit a lot of teams is Patrick Williams, who you have going to the Spurs. What is it you really like about Patrick Williams as a prospect?
Yeah, Patrick Williams is a guy that kind of caught my eye early. I mean, he's a guy that has some flash plays, and he was kind of, as I mentioned, a little bit buried in that deep Florida State roster at times where he only actually played 23 minutes a game. But he has a lot of interesting, unique characteristics, I guess, that I think could translate if he hits a high-end outcome at the next level. I have him at the Spurs on my board most recent, and I've kind of been eyeing that along the process for a lot of the reasons you kind of just mentioned, where if the Spurs can get a high ceiling developmental piece, I would like to see what they could do with him.
And he's, you know, he's second youngest prospect in the draft, and he already, mm-hmm. to me, he has a really high floor just considering the fact that he's a younger prospect. He's relatively strong, very athletic, and whether it's offense and defense, I just think there's lots of strength in his game. One thing that really stands out to me as a prospect that I didn't really know going into it is he has an absolutely beautiful jump shot. Like, I could watch that thing all day long. What are your thoughts on him as a shooting prospect?
Yeah, I like his jumper as well. He actually showed some really nice flashes off the dribble as well. I think in the Syracuse game and I think in the North Carolina game in particular, he had a couple of nice pull-ups going left and a couple, maybe even a step back a little bit in the mid-range. And so I think he's shown some flashes where if he could really just get in, and as you said, his youth shows, but if he can get some experience and some reps, then I think he's definitely got a great upside because he's really flashed his jumper in certain spots as well. I agree.
Yeah, you mentioned the like dribble pull-ups, things like that. And the other thing that I've liked about him is there's times where he'll grab a rebound and he'll look to push it up the floor. And if that's something he can consistently do where you're not concerned, like, oh, he's a big man, when he tries to dribble, he's probably going to like throw it off his foot or he's going to, you know, make a mistake with his pass. He's such a high IQ player and he's decent enough in terms of ball handling where that's actually something that doesn't worry me all that much. And especially given his age, I think he's got lots of room to grow in that area of his game. And so when you look at the things he's going to be able to do on defense, even on offense, I think he's going to be able to play multiple positions and guard multiple positions too.
For sure. Yeah. As you were saying, one thing I noticed with him is he always seems like he's under control. He doesn't play at a super fast, like out of control rate, it doesn't seem like. And as you said, he's multi-positional to where if he's playing your four and he can pull a rebound down and lead a break, I think there's a lot of value to that. And as he gets older and kind of develops his body, I think there's a chance he could definitely improve his foot speed and then be able to guard even out to the three and any of the wings that are maybe not quite as quick. But I think at his ceiling, he'll have a lot of defensive versatility kind of switching up and down the lineup as well.
Yeah, you mentioned foot speed, and that's one concern I do have just a little bit. When you watch him in college, at times he doesn't move laterally as well as I'd like to see. But one thing that helps is he's so athletic. A lot of times he's able to, get back into the play and still be able to make stops. But when you get to the NBA, you're not going to be able to do that as well because everyone's a really good athlete for the most part. And so if you get beat, in many cases, you're going to get beat. I personally do think he's going to be able to make the adjustments, whether it be with footwork or just other areas to move laterally better, maybe be a smarter player in that aspect. Do you think he's going to ultimately be able to improve?
Yeah, I do. I think what you were saying at the end is a good point with the smarter. I think he can get positionally a little better. There's times where he would go for steals in a passing lane or something. He would get out of position just a little and be a little late, and that would contribute to him getting beat. But I think there's certain things where just experience in his youth where just repetitions and stuff will help him really just become a smarter defender, as well as kind of just molding his body as he gets into his early 20s.
Yep, I think that's fair. And again, he's second youngest prospect in the draft. And despite all of that, we sit here and talk about all the different things that we really like about his game. I guess when we look at him, is there anything that you when he jumps to that next level, is there anything that really just like jumps out as maybe a red flag or a concern?
I think his youth will contribute to maybe a game speed issue just initially, but I think once he gets in and gets some repetitions, I think he'll be there. Just because, for one, you mentioned he's got a nice jumper, where if he can consistently space it a little, that'll help get him on the court earlier. And two, he's got just the athleticism and strength already, where he can get on the court and maybe provide a little backside help, rim protection at the four spot, or just. I don't know. He's got a lot of different skill sets that maybe could help get him on the floor earlier. And I think having a shot and his strength at this age are going to be two keys to getting him on the floor early.
Yeah. I think that's very fair. Now, when you look at the draft and where he's going to likely go or maybe not go, depending on, you know, what you think, what do you think? To me, I would say I'd be shocked if he didn't go in the lottery. And probably, to me, he probably is going to go somewhere in, I would guess, like that 8 to 13 range. Do you think that's probably fair in terms of his likely position?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good estimate. There's always a shot that with a guy like him, I think he's got a pretty high ceiling, as we've talked about. So maybe someone falls in love with him early. I really don't think he'd probably fall out of the lottery either, as you were saying. But yeah, I think somewhere in that 6 to 13 range, I can't see him getting out of there. I agree with you.
Now, I want to touch just real briefly on a couple other prospects that I would say you're probably a little higher on than some other people. I see you have Grant Riller at 13. I love that. I think Grant Riller is very underrated. I don't think people give him the credit he deserves just in terms of his ability. I mean, that step back shot is so good.
Right, yeah. That shot making can't really – it's not teachable at this point for a lot of people. I think he's got some of the best shot making in the class. And I think if you got a team that's got some other pillars already around it, obviously in Zion and Ingram and Lonzo. And so if you could throw a guy on there who maybe even initially starts out as a six man role and just a spark off the bench. And I think, I mean, he's got upside potential to be, I mean, a pretty big time scorer in the league, I think. And a lot of the questions are on the defensive side, but I think in a draft like this and with a team like New Orleans, I think going for a guy like that would be a good swing to make.
Yeah, I really hope that a team takes a chance on him earlier because he's one of the prospects. And he's not the only one. There's a couple of guys in this draft class, him, Desmond Bane's another one, where I think if they were just younger, they would be top five guys. Like, they would be in the conversation right. much sooner. But as we know, in the NBA – the second you tell someone, by the way, this prospect's really, really good, he's 22, you're like, ah, man, there's just not much upside there. The problem is right. with guys like Riller, Burbane, I don't need a huge upside because I feel like their floor and where they're at right now is already so good that I do think that they can jump right into an NBA team and be super productive.
Yep, I absolutely agree. And I have Bane 21 to Philly. So, I mean, I think those two guys, like you said, will contribute on first contracts, and I think there's a lot of value to that, especially for teams that are trying to compete for the playoffs already. And there's teams that'll draft a 18-year-old prospect, and I hate seeing teams give up on an 18-year-old draft pick before, I mean, they're 21. It's like, if you're going to draft that guy, you gotta know the time and the development you're going to put into it. But then there's guys like this that can contribute on day one, in my opinion. And so there's value to both sides, but I think it's worth taking into account that, I mean, Brandon Clark, I think the same with Obi Toppin. If a team wants early production, he's a guy to look for. Honestly, age doesn't scare me off quite as much as other guys.
You know, Obi Toppin's a good player to talk about. I'm curious, you know, we mentioned how there could be some movement issues as far as Patrick Williams is concerned. Do you have concerns about Toppin? Because I wonder if he's ever going to be good defensively.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, there's definitely concerns there. I think if he can get to be an average defender, I think that'd be great. I think obviously the high center of gravity hurts him with the high hips. I feel like he gets off balance in a way. But I think if he could improve his lower body strength maybe and become more of a smart defender, as we kind of talked about earlier, just positionally being in the right spot, he's got the vertical ability to deter some shots and just being average on defense or being able to hide him on the floor on certain players, I think, would give you the ability to really let him show what he can do on offense, which I'm pretty high on his offensive package. Just with the ability to shoot, dribble, and pass, honestly, at the four spot would be valuable.
Yeah, to me, he's got to be really, really good offensively if he's not going to make the adjustments defensively. So if, like, let's say he stayed where he is defensively now, he would really have to be good offensively to justify, you know, for example, like a top five or a top 10 pick. So a lot of that's going to depend on his development there. Let me ask you one last question here. If you look at this draft class, give me one name as kind of a sleeper, someone that people should keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure. Just looking at my board, and I've had him up for a while now, but I think the first guy that comes to mind for me, for sure, is Elijah Hughes. He's a guy that I see anywhere from undrafted to late second to, I mean, some people are now moving him up into late first type consideration. And I actually have him at 19 right now to Brooklyn in my last mock. And I know that's real high, but I'm buying in on his shot creation, kind of as we talked about with Grant Riller as well. He's got the size to play a little on the wing. I think, much like Riller also, his role will be a lot different that he's asked to play, especially if he's in Brooklyn, than what he was seeing in Syracuse with such a high usage. He led them in assists. He led the ACC in scoring. And I think defense is a question coming out of the zone, but I think he's got the athleticism, and if he buys in, I think he'd be a nice piece for more of a contending type team in the second half of the first round.
Oh, I like that. I think that's a good name. And I've started to see him more and more as far as the name that starts to pop up when you're talking about the draft. So he's definitely going to be a guy that we touch on down the road. Maybe we'll have you on for that episode as well. Thanks again for joining us this week here on Robin Hoop. And where can people find you? Where can people find you on social media? And if you have anything else, you know, coming out, whether it be mock drafts, changes to the big board, that sort of thing.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. This was good. You can find me on Twitter just at HoopsWill. I've just been putting out mocks and big boards kind of as significant events kind of take place. Probably won't put out too many more before the draft, but get something as we're leading up and kind of just try to keep the stuff coming out. I've been looking at 2021 already as well, and so just putting out stuff constantly, but I appreciate you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
Welcome back to the Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel, where we are now joined by draft specialist Dustin Barnes, also known as NBA Draft Buzz on Twitter. Dustin, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Now, before we get into our prospect focus for this week, I wanted to touch a little bit on some of your work. Now, you recently put out both a mock draft, obviously post-lottery, as well as you have your big board. And I want to clarify, is your big board 3.0? Is that the most recent one?
Yes, my plan is to do a mock draft and even a big board each month as we get closer to the draft. There's, you know, news gets out of different rumors and positional needs as we watch the playoffs and other things.
Yeah, mock draft is goofy because, number one, there's so many people out there that are doing them. But also, it's tough because some people claim, oh, I have inside information for this team. I know this is what they're going to do. There's so much speculation and rumor. It's always tough. And that's why I love doing a big board, but I always feel like a mock draft is so much more difficult and more interesting just because you never know what a team's going to do, especially come draft night with trades and things like that. But I will say, looking at your big board, it is finally nice to see a kindred spirit, as I too have Denny Avdia as my number one guy. So I love that you're on the Denny Avdia hype train.
Yeah, you know, one thing before I started getting into the big boards and mock drafts for this year and really watching and seeing everybody else's versions of it, I just watched the prospects and then ranked them according to what I saw. So I think that's kind of the issue with some people. They get locked into what other people think and the position that others should be drafted at. And I think that kind of changes the mindset moving forward. Whereas if you watch a player play and you don't just watch their highlights and watch the hype, then you can kind of get a feel for their game and where they really belong.
Yeah, there's definitely some people out there that I think before they've fully watched a prospect play, they've already heard someone else's opinion. And then you kind of go in, I think, with a little bit of an information bias. So you might hear someone say, man, you know, when I watch Isaac Okoro play, he's one of the best defenders I've ever seen. And then you go into it thinking that, and then you're probably going to, number one, maybe judge him a little more harshly because you set the bar so high going in. Or maybe you're going to go in, he's great on defense, so I'm not going to watch him. When you're doing evaluation, the way you're talking about doing it is definitely the best way to do it. And speaking of evaluations, I'm looking at your big board. One thing that stands out to me is you have Aaron Naismith in your top 10. What is it that you really like about Naismith as a prospect?
He shoots the ball at a very high clip. You know, he had limited games this past year because he left because of an injury. But if you look at the way the NBA is being played, the spacing, the amount of shot gravity that a player has, and that means the amount of focus the defense puts on a player that can shoot the ball very well. He definitely has it. But it's also, he's not just a shooter. He's listed at 6'6", guard forward, and he was asked to do a lot of the scoring and shooting for Vanderbilt, but he's very athletic, even though he shows it in spurts, and he has all the tools to be a really good defender and showed shades of it. He just needs a little more guidance.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's a really fun prospect. As far as my big board, I don't really know where I'm going to put Naismith yet because I really want to do one more big, like, deep dive on him as a player. But there's a lot to like about him at the next level, I think, especially that shot. It's going to translate really well, and he's going to be a good prospect. Before we move on to take a look at your mock draft, I want to just circle back quick on Denny. Do you trust the improvements that we saw from his jump shot when the restart occurred?
I do. I think he's put a lot of work in the time that was during the quarantine and COVID-19. And he's kind of dispelled a lot of the weaknesses that he had. The sample size is very small. It's not too, you know, big of a game showing that he showed it, but he showed that he can improve. And I personally didn't think of his weaknesses as substantial weaknesses. He tends to foul a little bit, gets a little handsy, and gets a little exposed against more experienced players. But also, you got to remember, he's very young. And again, his shot has gotten better. It's improved. It's quicker on his release. The first thing I said when I saw him play was he's got to speed up his release to play in the NBA. And he's really done that and actually made an effort to improve that.
Yeah, what's so impressive to me about Denny as a prospect is when he wants to improve on something, you really see the difference, from beginning to end. So, you know, when you look at his season over in Israel, one thing I really noticed as he's been kind of growing as a prospect, he really wanted to improve on defense, and I definitely think we've seen that. And like we touched on shooting, I watched some of the highlights that were posted of him during the hiatus of him working on jump shots and things like that. And it's one thing to be doing it in a gym against nobody, but to be able to see it translate to actual games. And again, people like to talk about how the Israeli league isn't a really high-end league, but like you said, he's a young player. And so to me, if I'm going to look at a guy and say, all right, he's 18 or 19 years old, maybe the level of talent that he's playing against isn't high, but the same could be said for the guys that used to get drafted out of high school, where they're coming out of playing even a lower end of talent. And so to me, I just think he checks so many different boxes. And my money, my estimation, he's the most complete player in the draft. And at 19 years old, I just don't know how you pass it up at pick number one.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, I've heard, you know, so many different people say that, you know, he shouldn't be drafted in the first round, top 10. They go straight to his stats and look at his stats overall from, like, the regular season. And, you know, if you really want a good all-around player, he's a guy that, you know, he has the size. He's not just going to post up each and every time, although he does, but he can play from the perimeter. He creates very, very well. You know, he's not Luka Doncic, and I think that's what a lot of people get confused with, and they love to make that comparison because they're European. But one player that I think he reminds me a lot of, and you'd have to really know basketball and go back a little bit, is Detlef Schrempf. who played for the Supersonics and played for the Trailblazers. He's probably a little more perimeter-oriented than Detlef was, but similar size. Detlef never was really known for having a good shot, even though he could make shots, and he tried really hard to play defense, and you know, he was on a lot of those playoff teams.
Yeah, Shrempf is a very good player. Similar size, too, you know, 6'9 versus 6'10. That's a really interesting comparison. And to be fair, in my box, people are jumping in. When I put, you know, when I said he's my top prospect, and all of a sudden people are going, he's just Luka. Like, he's whatever the white European that someone thinks of at the time. And it's just not, that's just not accurate. That's not who he is. So that's really interesting. Detlef Shrempf, I like that. I think that's an interesting comparison. I can't say that I remember his game all that much, other than, you know, obviously played for the Sonics, and I mean, a good player for sure. So if you look at it that way, if Denny could be what Detlef Shrempf is, I think a lot of people would definitely take that. And now, if we look into your mock draft, had in your most recent mock post lottery, you had Anthony Edwards going one, Denny Avdija going two, and then Laval three. What are you thinking in terms of a fit? I know, do you like Denny to the Warriors, or are you kind of buying into that rumor? Because I have heard that if the Wolves go Edwards, which is the guy that the Warriors really want, the next guy they want that's on their board would be Denny Avdija.
Yeah, I am buying into that a little bit. I think Avdija does a lot, actually, of what Draymond Green does as far as creates. I don't think he's obviously, being so young, he's not as great of a defender, but he has the ability to be a facilitator, kind of be that glue guy. He wouldn't have to have too much responsibility coming in, just play his game and, you know, feed off of Steph and Clay and even Andrew Wiggins. And also, it could be a cheaper option than keeping Draymond Green for the next few years.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I, to be honest, if you look at any of the teams in the NBA, I don't think anybody could go wrong with Denny being on their team. I think he would be a really good fit for pretty much anyone. Now, as we move down your mock draft, let's jump into the players that we're going to touch on today. And starting off with, you have Devin Vassell going to the Spurs at number 11. When you look at Devin Vassell as a prospect, what is it that you really like about him? What is it that stands out?
His activity on defense is, I think, one that really stands out both on ball and off ball. He's a growing offensive player. The games that I saw, he stuck to his strengths, but at the same time, he was attacking the elbows and pulling up one dribble pull-up mid-range, which could be his move of the future. And also, I think one of the biggest things is his low usage. You know, Florida State had Trent Forrest. They have Patrick Williams, Raekwon Gray. They have a bunch of guys, and they played as a team, but Vassell kind of picked up the slack or scored when you forgot about. So I think moving forward, and you look at the players in this draft, you know, a team like San Antonio is great because they have time to develop and they have such a good training staff. You know, he could easily come in there and be a steal at 11. And I honestly, if you really watch his game and you don't get caught up in the rankings and the picks, if you're Golden State, I would take a hard look at him at number two.
Yeah, and actually, that works perfectly as we transition. You recently tweeted out, Devin Vassell should be the number two pick if the Warriors keep it. Change my mind. So you think that he would be a guy that they should maybe think to target maybe a little earlier than some other people have him ranked, but he could make that big of an impact, and you think he'd be a good fit there?
Absolutely. When you have, you know, the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, and the league is turning into a wing league with, you know, Wiggins and Vassell there, and they're picking, and Golden State's done a really good job in the past couple drafts of picking up, you know, multi-dimensional players and scorers to surround who they already have. You know, again, Vassell is really that glue guy who plays defense, you know, isn't going to ask the ball a lot of times and just develop over time, and not, you don't need him right away to be a, you know, 30-point scorer.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, one thing you touched on was usage. And Florida State didn't have to have him be that dominant or be that ball dominant or do a whole lot. which I think when he gets to the next level, that's really a little bit of untapped talent, just in the sense that I don't know that Florida State had to take advantage of all the things necessarily that Devin brings to the table. One thing that you touched on, and I completely agree with this, in your scouting report on Devin, is you talked about his high release point on his jump shot. It's very unique, I guess you could say. Just he kind of brings it up over his head. It's interesting, but the one thing that's nice about it is it's tough to defend and it's consistent. So while it doesn't necessarily look conventional, it's repeatable. And I think that's one of the biggest things as a shooter. You can have the weirdest looking jump shot in the world, as long as it always looks like that. You know, let's ask Kevin Martin, for example. As long as it always looks like that, it's fine.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we always want to correct shots, and you know, I think we can fix them. And you know, we would expect everyone who's a shooter to really have the, you know, Klay Thompson form or, you know, a picture perfect form. But you know, you look back at the shooters in the 90s, 2000s, even today, coaches aren't really going to complain if the ball's going in the basket.
Yeah, that's really the bottom line, right? As long as you're able to score and be efficient, because obviously in the modern NBA, efficiency really stands out with advanced metrics, things like that. And that's one thing that really kind of comes to head when it comes to shooters. You can score, you can do it efficiently. Teams are going to be happy with however you're getting it done for the most part. Now, we talked a lot about the shooting aspect of it. The one thing that really stands out to me, aside from his offensive game, is just how impressive he's been able to be as a team defender. So off-ball defense, moving. He's a very high IQ defender, which I think sets him apart from a lot of players, especially given, you know, he's an old prospect, and he's able to come into the league, and he's got a very high floor on that level. Now, maybe it's not as high as far as being an on-ball defender, but I still think he's adequate in that area. Do you think a lot of that's going to translate to the NBA? And then what positions do you think ultimately he's going to be able to guard?
I think his defense will translate according to, you know, like you said, the different positions that he can guard. I think he's actually going to be able to guard, at least right now, 1 through 3, one probably less than the 2 through 3 positions. But over time, I think he's long enough and quick enough to guard most ones with experience. He has that, you know, almost a tweener fit between the 2 and 3. And with his, you know, his active hands, his hip mobility, and the way he moves, I think he can definitely take advantage of some of the bigger threes or even the borderline fours and get deflections that lead to steals, that lead to fast break points.
Yeah, that's what's going to make him really valuable at the next level. He does need to get a little stronger, and that's kind of the generalized thing you hear about a lot of prospects. It's, you know, they're going to have to get stronger, but they're young, and so that's to be expected. But I agree. I do think ultimately down the road, he's going to be able to guard not just the twos and threes effectively like he will be able to day one, but expanding into the fours, some of the ones, and that's what's going to make him so special, I think, when he gets to the NBA. Do you have any aspects of his game that you're a little concerned about? I know one thing you mentioned was his handles in your scouting report and how that maybe needs to be tightened up a little bit.
Yeah. So, and I think that kind of goes back to what I was talking about with his one dribble pull-up, is you don't really see him doing a lot of dribbling or creating too much with his dribble. That's why he kind of keeps it simple, which is good. And that's fine for his current level that he's at. But he's going to have to, you know, really work on his ball handling and maybe be a complement guard and even bring the ball up and handle the ball and play guard. But when you think about it, if that's a weakness for a player is to work on ball handling and his effectiveness handling the ball, then that has to kind of rank a little bit low on the overall weaknesses.
Yeah, when it comes to a player like him, he's not going to necessarily be asked to be the primary guy. And so, you know, if one of your weaknesses is something like, you know, let's say it's creation, or let's say it's, in this case, ball handling, I don't think it moves you down that much because he's so effective in the other areas where he's likely going to be used more anyways. So I do think that makes a pretty big difference. Overall, I'm a really big Vassell fan. There's lots to like about him. If you were to tell me that when it was all said and done, you know, he was the best prospect in this class, it wouldn't necessarily shock me. While I don't have him there right now, I just think given his skill set and his physical profile, there's so many things that to like about him, and I think the sky's the limit for him as a prospect. Let me end with this one, and then we'll move on to Patrick Williams. Where do you think he likely goes in the draft when it's all kind of said and done? Again, we don't know what's going to happen with pre-draft process, but after whatever kind of a process we do have, where do you think he goes? Where should he go? And is there a team or teams you think would be a good fit? Obviously, in your mock, you mentioned the Spurs, but I don't know if that's like kind of your top fit or if there's other teams that come to mind.
Honestly, he kind of fits to a lot of teams. And if I had to pick a guy that I could, you can replace him with in the lottery, and moving up, you know, as good of a defender as Okoro is, and I have Isaac Okoro going fifth, you know, if you're Cleveland, I feel like you look at Devin Vassell there because he can play defense and he's probably a better offensive player already. So Cleveland would be a good fit. The Hornets would be a good fit. I mean, he just kind of fits anywhere and everywhere. When you look at all the teams with Atlanta, yes, they have a lot of wings, but they need to kind of stockpile and maybe even make a move for another star for with Trae Young. Detroit kind of needs a little bit of talent all over. The Bulls have players at that position, but they've kind of missed on a couple of past prospects. Charlotte has a few, but they need a couple. The Knicks need some more consistency, especially on defense and not just offense. So I think he fits everywhere. When you need a guy that can do everything, is a good all-around player, and that's kind of why I touched on him going two, because he could go two, I think, in my mind.
Yeah, if you're an NBA team, you're a fit. That's the kind of the way I look with Devin. In the modern NBA, especially with his switchability, there's a lot of teams out there that make a lot of sense. Now, when we jump into Patrick Williams here, the first thing that always jumps off to me, he's the second youngest prospect in the draft. And we look at where you kind of have him. You have him listed in your big board at the 12th spot. What do you really like about Patrick Williams as a prospect?
You know, although he's a bigger player than Vassell, they kind of had a similar role, but just at different positions at Florida State. Low usage. He played, you know, majority of his highlights and effectiveness came from defense. But what I was really shocked to see when I saw him, because I think the first possessions I saw of him playing were all defense related, is when he shot the ball. I was actually impressed with his shot because I had figured he was just going to be a defensive, you know, disruptor and defender and guard multiple positions. But when he took an outside shot that was either a long two or a long three, it looked like he was a natural scorer. And even his, you know, he has a, I believe it's an 80 plus free throw percentage, which a lot of scouts and people kind of translate into a good shooter in the NBA, and that translates well for their future. So I think that's why I really trust his shot too, to go along with his defense.
You know, we talk about Vassell earlier and how he has kind of a unique looking shot. When I look at Patrick Williams, I kind of think of jump shooting as kind of like an art form. And some guys, when you do it, it just looks so smooth and so pretty. Patrick Williams has one of the best looking jump shots in the draft class, I think. Just when you watch him shoot, you feel like it's going in. I mean, he's not like the greatest shooter ever, but considering his age and, like you mentioned, the free throw shooting, which is huge because a lot of guys his size, especially in college, don't seem to be that consistent from the free throw line. And I think that just speaks to how good his shot really is.
Absolutely. And to your point, when he shoots, he has a great base. His feet are almost perfect, width apart, straight up and down. So he kind of has a very, very good base for his shots. And then you have to expect when he goes to wherever he goes in the NBA that there will be tweaks with his shot, but they will be improvements, and his shot will only get better.
Yep, he has one thing that I think you don't see with a lot of prospects these days, whereas he comes into the NBA and his shot has a really high floor, and so there's not as much you have to do to it. So if you're an NBA team and you're saying to yourself, here's a guy that we won't have to do much as far as shooting is concerned, plus he has all these other factors that we really like, and he's one of the youngest players in the draft, mean, sign me up for that. I think there's a lot of teams that would love to get that on their team. What do you think? We talked a little bit about Vassell as a switchable player. What are your thoughts on Patrick Williams at the next level? Because to me, he's already got some strength in terms of his body type. He's a very good athlete. I think he's going to be able to guard definitely multiple positions from day one.
Yeah, I think what I see is, you know, 3 through 5, because even with a little improvement with his ball handling and his size, he could play the big three. And even in a pinch on certain switches, I don't know too many twos that are not elite that they're going to be able to get a shot over or even drive with the amount of strength that he has and his mobility. So I think that is a reason why he's considered so highly and is often seen in the lottery, is because he has, he's kind of like a Play-Doh or mold that you can, you know, he's built with this great body and you can kind of build what you want out of him. And that's why I think he's, you know, a hot commodity for any team in the lottery.
Are there any parts of his game that you kind of find concerning? We talk about his defense being, in some cases, elite. But the one issue that I've noticed a little bit in college is at times his lateral mobility is not as good as it could be. Now, the one thing that he's able to do because of his athleticism, a lot of times he's able to make that ground up, sometimes even getting blocks. He's able to recover, which is always good to see. But do you have concerns with that aspect of his game? I personally think it's a little concerning, at least initially, but given his athleticism, and I think with some improved footwork on the defensive end, I do think he could be a much better lateral player. And I don't have like long-term concerns.
Yeah, I think he would struggle coming in right away and trying to produce on an NBA team. He's going to need the time to develop and the time and experience to just to kind of figure out what the team defense asks of him. And then he's also going to probably need to decrease the amount of strength that he has in his legs, because I feel like that kind of slows him down, even though that adds a lot of strength and it's great for the five. It's going to slow him down a lot trying to guard wings and threes. And that could be a lot of resistance band training and tighten up those muscles and just getting them strong from an internal standpoint and not really trying to have an external bigger legs than everybody.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, getting a stronger base can definitely help him in certain aspects of his game, but also, like you mentioned, it could end up being a detriment just in terms of some of the things he's really good at now, just in terms of mobility. When you look at him as an offensive, or maybe I guess even just his overall game, the one thing that surprised me when I really dove into him was he's actually a decent ball handler, which was not something I was expecting. And I think that we talk about his flexibility on defense, but I do think that really opens up an NBA team to use him in different lineups better too, because he isn't, I guess I would say, he's not a big risk when it comes to being able to handle the basketball.
No, especially at his position. It's very, you know, uncommon for players at his position to handle the ball or be asked to handle the ball and create on their own. And even if they did, you know, Patrick Williams' defense enough will be able to slow them down. And on the offensive end, he'd be able to create for himself or eventually create for others.
Now, let me end it with this. You have him going to the Kings in your most recent mock at number 12. Do you think that's a good fit? Are there other teams that you like? And ultimately, where do you think he goes?
You know, I do like him at Sacramento, mainly because of Bagley's injuries and a little bit of past. He hasn't really lived up to a lot of what people are expecting of him. And they have some young talent, so they're going to look for a guy like Patrick Williams. I'd also kind of expect the Boston Celtics to take him because they do really, really well at drafting players and developing them. They've done really well with developing and starting to develop with Carson Edwards, Romeo Langford, Taco Fall. They're all trying to really get them to where they're going to be a role player, and I think Patrick would fit there. And then also, you know, he could definitely fall out of the lottery, which would be unfortunate, but I don't see him going past the 20th pick based on his age And we had touched with Devin Vassell. His usage, he does a lot of highlight plays, but also efficient plays.
I'll tell you right now, as a Wolves fan, I would gladly accept him slipping out of the lottery and being available at pick 17 if that was a possibility. I would have no issues with that. But as far as where he should go, I definitely hope he goes sooner than that, just in terms of, you know, his ability and where he deserves to be. Let me get in with this. Where can people find you on social media? And then let us know if you have anything coming out in terms of scouting reports, mock drafts, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram at NBA Draft Buzz, and I'm also on Twitter at Draft Buzz. I am still working on scouting reports. A lot of the scouting reports I've done over 65, and they were of majority of my big board rankings. I'm going over potential second rounders as far as and as undrafted players. I have started a new segment and content that's a shot comparison, where I choose three players of similar position or skill and compare their percentages and talk a little bit about them as far as what they did in the year. And I will also be making updates to my mock draft and big board in the month of September.
Glad to hear it. Lots of exciting stuff going on, and we look forward to all the content you continue to produce. Thanks for coming on the show, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back to the Nothing But Net channel on Dash Radio. This is the Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show, and now we are joined by Tyler Moorman, draft expert and contributor for Fansided's Piston Powered. Tyler, how you doing?
Good, good. How about yourself?
I can't complain. You know, love talking draft, and we've got a really interesting prospect that we're going to talk about today, Trent Forrest. Give me your initial thoughts. What do you think of when you think of Trent Forrest as a prospect?
I mean, he's going to have to work on the offensive end for sure, but when you think of Trent Forrest, to me, it's a lockdown defender that jumps out is the first thing I could say.
Now, when you look at his, you know, you talk about offensively, and you talked about how defensively that's really going to be where he kind of gets his bread and butter. On offense, though, you know, as a four-year prospect, the one thing that I liked is that we saw improvements from him pretty much every season, including if you look at that last season, 82-83% from the free throw line. Do you think he can continue to improve in that aspect of his game? For example, when you look at his three-point shooting, while he didn't shoot a lot of three-pointers, 29% in his senior season, good free throw shooter. Can he maybe get to at least a respectable number when it comes to threes jumping to the NBA?
I would say you'd have to hope so. You know, the golden thumb rule is always looking at the free throw percentage, right? So you look from 28 to 2019 season, he shot 78%, and he jumped all the way up to 82, almost 83%, which is promising. And just like you pointed out, is a 5% jump in his three-point percentage from last year as well. So if you watch in this film, you know, a lot of these three-point shots he goes up with this year, he doesn't hesitate at all, which shows a lot of good body language and confidence to continue his shot. So I think, you know, you get him to an NBA program where he's constantly working on a shot with professional-level shooting coaches, and you got to hope he can at least get it up to a 30-35% rate.
Yeah, and the big thing is he's such a good defender. And, in fact, he's so good defensively, you just don't see the block numbers and the steal numbers. As far as other prospects that have come out, especially guard prospects, there's just not a lot of guys that have done what he's done. And that's what really sets him apart. So if you can make it so that he's just at least a threat, you know, that's the biggest thing. You don't want a guy that's going to be on the floor where the other opposing team says, we don't need to guard that guy. As long as he can be a threat from three, and like we talked about, you know, in that, like, let's say 30 to 35% range, then I think there's a team out there that's going to say, all right, he's so good defensively, let's just make him passable offensively. And that's going to make a huge difference. And to me, if he can make those strides, there's a lot of NBA teams out there that could use a guy like that coming off their bench.
I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, one of the best things that could have happened for him is the breakout, you know, of Lu Dort and players like that this year, where everyone's been talking about how the NBA is trending towards an offensive first type of mindset. But these defensive lockdown guys have really showed up and times like these playoffs that have showed you have to have somebody where you point to that best scorer and say go stop them, and Trent Forrest, I think, can do that. I mean, you watch a lot of film for Florida State, and you're mainly watching for guys like Devin Vassell and Patrick Williams, but watching film, this guy just kept jumping out, right? And I'm like, who is this? So then you go and you dive into his film. And you look at film like that Duke game this year where he came out with 8 steals and a block. I mean, you don't just accidentally stumble into 8 steals. That takes some defensive skill.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about how free throw rate is one thing that's looked at when you transition to the NBA, but steal rate, if you get steals in college, generally that transfers to the NBA. And he's such a good player when it comes to defense and getting steals that right off the bat, I mean, think about that. If you're an NBA team, you say, man, this is if this is likely to transfer defensively, he's got such a high floor already, and he's going to be able to contribute right away. And that's going to make a huge difference.
I think a lot of it, too, is just he's really fundamentally sound on defense. You know, he keeps his hands up in the passing lanes. He's always reading what the rotations are. And he's a pretty darn good athlete, too. He makes some crazy chase down blocks in transition that you can see. He's not afraid to go up and contact and, you know, body up the person going up for the layup. And it's just those are really good signs looking up to the next level.
Yes, I would completely agree. It's funny. I would definitely say he's kind of an underrated athlete. The one thing that's funny, if you actually search Trent Forrest, the big highlight from this season was that big dunk he had. And so that's one of the things that pops up all the time when I'm trying to look through highlights from him.
Yeah.
So definitely an underrated athlete. Now, when you look ahead to the draft, let me ask you this. Do you think he is going to get drafted, or do you see him as being more of an undrafted, like two-way type prospect?
I think it's really going to depend on how the draft falls. There's quite a few. I know a lot of people say this is a pretty poor draft, but it depends really how you look at it. There's quite a few guards and wings as is too, and that are going to fall into the second round that players could be or teams could be wanting to take that gamble on. So I think it really depends on how it falls. I see him as a late second round get, but maybe because I'm just really high on him. But I could definitely see him being a two-way type of guy as well that works his way into the rotations of teams.
Yeah, one of the big red flags for him is just his age. And, you know, you can't do anything about your age. You are however old you are. But when you compare him to a guy like Trey Jones, obviously a couple years younger, and we're talking about Trey Jones going, you know, kind of end of first, early second, age can make a pretty big factor because both of those players are guys that have struggled at least a little bit offensively in terms of shooting. So I think age is one of the biggest reasons why if he doesn't get drafted, that's what it points to when I look at him. Now, are there any teams out there that you think he would be a good fit on, whether it's just as a two prospect that would kind of fit into their system and grow as that team grows, or maybe a team out there that you think maybe takes a chance on him as maybe a third point guard that eventually could grow into a larger role?
It's, you know, it's really tough looking and trying to fit a guy like Trent into a team where you could see him making an impact immediately just for the things we've talked about. His offense isn't that great. And like we said, the league is pointing to offense first. But you look at a team like maybe Denver, who has a lot of injury issues in their guard depth, who sometimes they can't show up consistently. So you have to wonder, are they going to be there all the time? Can they, you know, could Trent maybe make a name for himself defensively? Even a team like I really like him and a team possibly like Detroit, who's still rebuilding, and he has a really good defensive mentor there, possibly in Bruce Brown, who's kind of had the same model coming into the league. His offense wasn't the best, but he's worked really hard and improved his shot from the corner and his three altogether. It's going to be really tough to try and, you know, mock him into a team, but I feel like he's one of those players who you ask his coaches, you ask his teammates, all they talk about is how great of a player he is, his intangibles, his leadership. Those kind of things are going to make it really hard for a player like Trent, if you ask me, not to make it onto a roster at some point.
Yeah, you know, as far as intangibles are concerned, he's one of the best, I think, at that in this draft class. A big reason why Florida State was so good last year was because of that leadership. We're not talking just in the locker room, but on the floor. Very good leader. I actually had the pleasure of being able to interviewed their coach recently, Leonard Hamilton, and he couldn't say enough about Trent Forrest as a leader and just all he brought to the table. And again, like I said, they wouldn't be the successful team that they were without Trent Forrest. I mean, I think that's a big part of what he brings to an NBA team. And he's such a high IQ player that you're getting a guy that just doesn't make a lot of mistakes. The only question I have, now when I look at his offensive game, we touched on his shooting. The other concerns I have a little bit would be his passing and his ball handling. When you looked at his senior season, when his usage rate went up quite a bit, so did his turnovers, and we're talking three a game. Does that concern you a little bit? Does that aspect?
I think it has to, right? When you look at any kind of prospect like that, the turnover ratio always kind of jumps out of you when you see someone when their usage rate jumps up. It's always a cause for concern. But I think if you look at an NBA role where he's going to be, I don't think he'll be a primary ball handler. I think he'll be an off-ball kind of guy who you're mainly going to put out there for defense first, right? And then if he gets the chance to take those shots, he's shown the confidence this year. He's not afraid to take those shots and knock them down. I mean, even his volume in his shooting, the year before last, he only shot 33s. This year, it's jumped up to almost 60. So he's shown he's not afraid to take those shots this year. So you want to put him in an off-ball role, I think. And as you said, the turnovers are probably a cause for concern as a primary ball handler role.
Yeah, it's interesting. As an off-ball guy, it makes it that much more important that he does have the ability to hit shots, right? That's going to be a big, big part of that. There are some teams out there, though, that I think as an off-ball guy would make some sense. For example, I'm a big Timberwolves fan. And if I look at a player like D'Angelo Russell, who's the guy that's going to be able to create, but he can also take shots, but he's not a good defender. So a matchup like that where you say, all right, if you could pair him with a guy like D'Angelo Russell, again, you're going to have some size limitations there, but at least he could help out when you have a guy like D'Angelo Russell that has certain positives that you don't see from Trent and vice versa. And so a lot of it's going to be matchups. And there's some teams out there that, like we talked about, are going to be able to use a player like him down the road. But initially, definitely, it's going to be a little tough for him to make much of an impact. Do you see, now we touched on it a little bit, the turnovers, but what are your thoughts on him as a ball handler? Because he's shown the ability to be able to get inside, and he actually has a decent floater, but you didn't see him really get to the hoop a lot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think he's really a downhill guy, right? He doesn't rely a lot on the fancy dribbles, making the second move to get around the defenders or anything like that. He's much more of just a momentum kind of guy to where he gets the ball and he just goes. And he relies on blowing by the defender, trying to body past him, and things like that. So as like a fancy ball handler, I don't see, you know, you always hope that these players, when they get into an NBA system and that's all they're working on instead of, you know, school here and there, it's just basketball. You hope that, you know, everything jumps up a little bit. So where his ball handling isn't going to ever be elite, I wouldn't say, but I think it's going to be serviceable with the first step and the ability to get downhill like he does. It doesn't always have to be great to me.
Let me end it with this. You look ahead, you're an NBA team and you're deciding what you want to do with your roster. You got, you know, two-way spots that you can pick up. If you grab Forrest, let's say as an undrafted free agent, if you're a GM, how long do you think it takes before he can make an impact with your pro team? Because as a leader, he's going to be able to impact your two-way players and your G League system immediately. And he's going to be a guy that's going to be able to help out in a lot of areas there. But how long do you think it takes before he could really make an impact with an NBA team?
You'd hope within a year or two, right? I mean, you jump back and you touch on, just like you said, his age. He's not the youngest, so you don't want him to be in your farm system for very long. And then by the time he moves up, he doesn't have very long to make the biggest impact. So you'd hope within a year or two. And I think when you talk about someone on a two-way, you never really know what kind of opportunities they're going to fall into due to injury or, you know, something like that, to where they have to get called up. And then I think with a person like Trent's confidence and his ability and his willingness to go out there and work his butt off, and, you know, like we said, all those intangibles, you just hope that he gets the ability, the chance to step into those roles. And when he does, I think teams are going to have a hard time sending him back down.
Yep, I definitely think that's fair. Let me end. Where can people find you on social media if they want to interact?
I'm on Twitter at TMormanNBA, and yeah, that's it.
Well, perfect. Well, thanks again for joining us this time, and we'll probably touch base again and have you on down the road.
Cool, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Tyler. That's it. Thanks for joining and talking about a guy that, you know, you're definitely higher than other people. And I really wanted to get someone had really, you know, dive into what he's actually put on as far as highlights, games, things like that. And so there's not a lot of Trent Forrest experts out there. So it was good to have you on to talk about him.
Yeah, like I said, man, I really appreciate the opportunity. So if you ever want me on again or anything like that, I'd love to join.
Perfect. Well, thank you. And this will air Next Wednesday is when it should air, I believe, on our radio station. And we'll be doing promo and stuff like that beforehand. And you'll get tagged in all those posts and things like that.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
You too, brother.
Bye.
Bye.
Start by saying thank you to all of our guests this week. I encourage all of our listeners to go check them out where they mentioned they are available on social media or on their specific websites. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show here on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. Remember, you can find us anywhere podcasts are found, whether that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. You can find us at any of those locations. Again, Robin Hoop Draft Show, bringing rich takes to the poorly informed. And until next week, we'll see you.
With the first pick in the 2003 NBA Draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA Draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA Draft,
with the third pick in the 2018 NBA Draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA Draft,
with the first pick in the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.